The Frequency 49 show is brought to you by the Niner Empire GB.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Welcome to the Frequency 49 show. And tonight, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the First Lady of the Niner Empire GB, Kat Victorino, and our friend from across the water, Michael Wandai. Good evening, guys.
Hello, hello.
Hello aus Deutschland. Hello from Germany.
Right. This past Sunday, the San Francisco 49ers went to Cleveland, Ohio, where unfortunately we got our first loss of the season. We lost 19-17 against the Cleveland Browns. I've got a number of stats here in front of me. You're much better at this than me, Kat. I'm a bit nervous with you with me. So we lost 19-17. It wasn't a pleasant game. I didn't enjoy this game one bit, but I'll just reel some stats off just to back up the final score, and then we'll get into the nitty gritty of it. So total yards was 215 for San Francisco, 334 for Cleveland. That includes 107 passing yards for us, 174 passing yards for Cleveland, 108 yards rushing for San Francisco, 160 yards rushing for Cleveland. Average yards per play, ours was 4, theirs was 5. And obviously they scored 19 points and we scored 17 points. So that's the tale of the tape. So, yeah, we lost, guys. We're not going to go unbeaten this season. Like I said, I didn't particularly enjoy this game one bit. Not necessarily because we lost. I can take losing. Many reasons. First, I'll go into what I thought, and then I'll bring you two in. Penalties. How many times are we going to mention penalties on this podcast relating to our team? It wasn't just us, it was them as well. It seemed to me like every other play during this game was a penalty. I don't think there was a period in this game where we got through 5 or 6 plays in a row for either team without a penalty. So that was frustrating. Those games where penalties are called and thrown every other play, they're really, you know, you just want to see a bit of momentum, a bit of flow to the game for either side of us, to be honest. So that was frustrating. The offense obviously struggled. I've got some stats here, but I'll bring you two in and you give me your general thoughts on the game. Kat, First Lady of the Niner Empire, how did you see that?
Through peering through my fingers, hiding my eyes. It was a very ugly game, but it very easily could have been an ugly win. I know we around here have questioned from April, why did we spend that draft pick for a kicker? And, you know, kickers get a bad rap, but really they're vital to our success, because I'm sorry, if you had any doubts about Brock Purdy, I hope this game put them out of your mind, because that boy got us in a position to score the winning field goal, which was really the minimum that he was expected to do. So, you know, I hate to say it, but for Moody, he's a rookie. I know that's an easy excuse. Was bright lights. Let's face it, you know. Yeah, the kid's going to have to brush it off and move forward. I mean, you can't expect perfection all the time. And really, seriously, did either of you honestly think that we would go unbeaten this year?
No, I don't. Michael, what do you reckon? How did you see it? Do you see it similar to me and Kat? I mean, I'm very much what Kat's just said. I'm extremely disappointed in the kicker, but I'll go into in a minute. That isn't the sole reason we lost. But what do you reckon, Mark? How did you see it?
Honestly, I'm more disappointed in our offensive line. From Trent to McKivitz, the Cleveland Browns definitely showed our weakness in this game. Purdy was constantly under pressure, and you saw that in his game how much it dropped. There were several situations when the pocket collapsed around him and he didn't have any space to move. And there were other situations where defenders went unblocked towards him. And I was a bit shocked that Trent had the most pressures in the game. But knowing that he was injured, that made sense. But still, the whole offense line collapsed around Purdy. Then, of course, Purdy had his worst game he had since he played for us. But like Kat said, when it counted, he was there and almost brought us to the victory. And honestly, I can't even be angry about Moody. Yeah, you can definitely miss a 58-yard field goal. And for the 41-yard field goal, when you see the stats afterwards, his kick was placed about 0.81 yards besides the middle and still would have hit. But the wind put it out about 2 yards. And that was the reason he didn't hit the last kick. Yeah, maybe he should have calculated for the wind, but when you just see where he dropped the ball, he would have hit, and I think not calculating the wind, that's a rookie error, and I don't think he will make that error again in later games.
Yeah. Well, that's all we can hope for, though, right, is that the team as a whole learns from this experience.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, let's be honest, guys. Would you rather Moody miss a kick against the Browns in week 5 of the NFL, or would you rather Moody miss a kick at Philadelphia's
NFC Championship?
Philadelphia's stadium, whose the name completely escapes me. Is it FedEx? Yeah. Anyway, would you rather
miss FedEx Field?
Field? I think so. They change the name so often. We learned this with Pittsburgh earlier in the season. I'm still calling it Heinz Field, and they've still got they've still got Heinz all around the stadium, but they're now called the Aquashore. Anyway, I digress.
Whoever bought it?
Yeah. But yeah. So you well okay. Let's pick up on Michael's point. First thing, yeah, so he's obviously aimed that kick for dead centre and the wind. He hasn't compensated correctly for the wind and the wind blew off. The stat that you gave me earlier in the week, Michael, was that the wind actually added 2.39 yards to the kick, obviously knocking it to the right of the upright. So, yeah, and it's a rookie mistake. It is, you know, as with experience, I'm sure he will learn to compensate more for the wind and stuff. But that being said, it's not like this. It's this guy's first season of kicking, and he's been an exceptional American football kicker his entire career from college, hence why we drafted him so highly. And to give him credit, because we'll be quick, you know, we're quick to shoot these guys down, he's been perfect up until that game. You know, nicknamed Money Moody, because he'd nailed every single conversion and every single field goal going into this game. I know he missed one in preseason, his actual first kick in the NFL he missed. But up until this game, he'd been perfect. So, and he missed, I think it was 2 out of 5, wasn't it? Which obviously the important one at the end and one earlier on. So, yeah, and I actually listened to, I've actually started getting into a few guys, and I don't want to recommend it on our podcast, but Fred Warner and his wife have got a podcast, and I'm really enjoying it because she just lets him talk ball. They've been talking a little bit about The Bachelor and Dancing with the Stars, but they do. But
married folks,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly. But and there's also potential that Dre Greenlaw and Flanagan Fowles are going to join him in the next couple of weeks at some point. So that'll be interesting because you do get a real insight. You know, he said they've established a winning culture, and obviously any loss feels it, this loss. I know it's the first loss of this season, but he said, you know, because of the winning culture and they're used to winning, it does feel hell of a lot worse for them. And he mentioned it, the worst thing or worse than losing the game is actually the injuries to come out of the game. The podcast came out yesterday and he had no update on the injuries for us, whereas in previous weeks he'd actually said, oh yeah, he'll play. And he did, even though the player was a doubt. So that worries me. We'll get on to that. And Michael mentioned it, our resident offensive line expert. I'm glad you noticed it as much this week, Michael, because I'll be honest with you, and I've been quick to criticise them in the past. I didn't notice it as much. I would probably give the, and you have to say, they are the best defence in the NFL, and they certainly looked like it against us. You know, that was supposedly the week before against the Cowboys. They were supposed to be the best and they didn't look anything like it, but the Browns certainly did. And I know we lost, but let's give a little bit of credit to the opposition. We may have lost on a 41-yard mixed field goal, but looking through the stats, they outplayed us in everything.
They did.
You know, third down efficiency, time of possession, 33 minutes to our 26. They even had more penalties than us, and that was 13 to 12, so they won that as well. But
barely, yeah, but okay.
I know. So, okay. So we've said our general feelings of it. Should we break it down onto the sides of the ball? So we I'm sure we all feel the offense, excuse me, struggled slightly. Brock's stat line was 12 for 27. So he attempted 27, had 12 completions, which is his lowest completion ratio and QBR rating since he's been our starting quarterback. Still threw for 125 yards with a touchdown and his first interception of the season, which is for his interception looked like the first rookie throw I'd seen from the guy in, 10 starts. So let's cut him a little bit of slack with that. Rushing yards, Christian McCaffrey had 43 on 11 carries. Jordan Mason run angrily for 5 carries for 27 yards, got himself a touchdown with an average of 5.4. For me, establishing himself as the running back number 2 now, possibly. Ray McLeod had a couple of returns, 23 yards. Debo had 2 carries for 11 before himself. He went off injured. Receiving, once again, Brandon Ayuk was our wide receiver number 1. I think he's pretty much proving that to be our best out-and-out wide receiver for 76 yards off only 4 receptions. He got 10 targets, so there were 6 incomplete passes to Brandon as well. One that sticks out again here, which, you know, George Kittle, 1 yard, 1 reception, 2 targets, which beggars belief for me that when you lose Debo Samuel and you lose Christian McCaffrey, why Kyle didn't scheme or, you know, I mean, he obviously can't tell Brock who to throw to, but why you don't lean on, you know, the arguably best tight end in the league, second best tight end in the league, whatever. So I think, yeah, the offense underplayed, but also, you know, who's the guy in charge of the offense was Kyle. I feel it was a little bit of a bad game from Kyle, and it looked like a game that recently, certainly in the past 10 games, that he's looked more confident and more gutsy. But this game, I don't know what it was. He looked like a little bit more like the Kyle from the past.
Well, I actually want to kind of speak to that. I don't know what you guys have seen, but they couldn't stop talking during the game over here about how, his name just flew out of my mind. Schwartz.
Yes.
Has a bead Jim Schwartz has a bead on Kyle Shanahan and has always had really good success with his defensive schemes against Shanahan's offensive schemes. So that was a piece I didn't pick up on immediately. And then when they started talking about it, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I don't think Carl's ever beat him. When Jim Schwartz has been in charge of the defense.
I think once.
I thought the same. Maybe instead of getting Wilkes, he should have gone for Schwartz as DC.
Mm. Right.
Because I'm not so happy with Wilkes, but that is something defense. I want to say something about the offense first, or cool. Two things. First of all, call me blasphemic, but sorry, since Debo has his contract, I see him more talking than showing on the field what he can do.
Exactly.
And the second thing is, I really hate how they talk about Purdy. Either they say he is the best and he is super good, or they say he is the worst when he has a bad game. I mean, the truth is in between. He is still, when you see the number of games he played, he still is a rookie. And he will make errors, and I wasn't surprised that he made errors this time. And people should stop. Either see Jesus in him or Satan. He's in between.
Well, and I think this is exactly the kind of loss that Brock needs in his backpack, because he's going to learn a lot from watching the tape. You know, he's going to see the mistakes that he made. And, okay, I should have done, you know, I should have thrown to here or whatever.
He said as
you
much
know.
In the post-game press conference. He completely, yeah. That's my favorite thing about him.
And I love that he owns that. I just love this
kid. I mean, without digging the knife into previous quarterbacks, I watched the post-game press conference because I thought this will be interesting. Foot comes up, first thing he comes, first answer to the first question was, I missed a few guys. And he says, the one that sticks out to mind, which I'm sure sticks out to everyone listening, and is the McCaffrey one. That was a touchdown. If he'd have made that throw, Christian was through. It was a great route by him.
Yep.
And the first thing, his first answer to the first question in the post-game press conference was, I missed a few guys. And he said, that one's Christian. And I thought, fair play. Straight away, come straight out and went, yep, on mate. And now, you know, we're talking, you know, that should be a veteran statement, a veteran move. You know, everything about this kid, to me, the way he processes the game mentally is, he acts like a veteran, often plays like a veteran. And he's, what, 23? Am I right in saying still? So yeah. He's 23. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's one of the youngest in the league. You know, fair play to him. And then listening to other people, they, you know, the other guys taking accountability. Fred taking accountability again on plugging his podcast loads. I hope he listens. but he took accountability for a couple of missed audibles, because he's the Mike linebacker, obviously calling the plays. He took accountability for a couple of things he missed in the game. I thought, you know, we've lost a game. It's shit that we lost a game. I'm sure they're devastated. But rather than making excuses and pointing the finger and looking at each other, they're all looking at themselves, every single one of them.
What can I do better? That's
exactly.
The question.
Maybe, yeah, I think Michael's definitely got a point with Debo. I mean, I saw something today with this out of the blue random beef with a Lions cornerback. We haven't even played the Lions yet. What's going on, Debo? I mean, I know he's got this, you know, reputation. You know, he's called Debo for a reason. But Christ, man, keep it on the field. And we saw before the game, it all kicked off before the game. Now, I'm not blaming him entirely, because to me, I saw the video and it just went haywire. I'll tell you what I did see. I saw Trent go from about 8-9 yards to his right to his left very quickly, and whoever was in his way just fell over. I love that.
I wonder if Debo injured his shoulder during that scuffle before the game.
Do you know, that's a possibility, because when he went off, I couldn't work out.
Did Trent get injured in that shuffle as well? And it's all on Debo. And about CJ Gardner-Johnson, he played with the Eagles last year. There is his beef from.
Okay, right.
Oh, yeah.
That makes a bit more sense.
There we go.
But still, he's still having stupid spats online with a guy that we haven't even played this season. And I mean, I don't think we were all play. Hang on, I've got the schedule on my desktop here as my background. but yeah, you know, are we even going to play them until possibly the playoffs? So that's bizarre. But yeah, so I think all in all, the offense, Brock knows he had his worst game. It was bound to happen at some point. Let's get it out of the way week 5, you know. Let's hand the Browns a win. Let's hand the Browns a win. I mean, let's say hand the Browns a win. Again, to give them credit, looking at the stats. Because I finished that game very much like you, Kat. I thought, my God, we've lost that game in a 41 field goal. And then I say, I listened to a few things. I thought, maybe I wasn't seeing it correctly. And I looked at the stats before the pod to put together for the podcast. And I thought, do you know what? To give Cleveland credit, they beat us. Hold our hands up. They beat us. So, you know, fair play.
Yeah. they're the number one defense in the league for a reason, and they showed us. Did.
Fair play. We'll see if we see them at the end of the year. I don't think we will, but I might come back to bite me. So that's the offense. We know they struggled. Now the defense. I'll read the stats out. We've got two interceptions. The best linebacker in the NFL, Fred Warner. The best linebacker in football, Fred Warner, come up with another interception. I don't know how many that is on the season. It's at least two, I can think. And Diomedo, it's Lenore again. Let's just call him Lenore. Come up with an interception for 28 yards. So we had two INTs, which is where Steve Wilks has improved the defense, Michael, because he's a secondary guy. So with the amount of interceptions we've got this season, he's definitely improved the secondary, which has been a concern of ours for a while. You know, we've often mentioned about the concerns at corner, even though we got Charvarius Ward, which was a great acquisition. Looks like Lenore.
Let's see, I get to the last name. Well,
you did the first name, I'll do the last name. Yeah, there you go.
Just say number two.
So the amount of interceptions we've had this season, it certainly looks like the secondary is improved. But to me, carrying on with the stats, I'll wrap up the stats before we go into opinions. Nick Bosa come up with a sack, which is, to be honest with you, I come to expect that of Nick. At least one a game I expect of him. When he doesn't get one, it sticks out to me. But let's be honest, since he got paid, he's certainly still playing to the level that he was. It's just that teams are double-teaming him constantly, holding him. They're just...
And his mouth is kept shut. But he's very quiet, isn't
he? For a bear, he's very quiet. But yes, exactly. I love his press conferences because you can just tell. It's like Nick don't want to be there. He doesn't want to be answering these questions, but he will answer them because he's obliged to. But yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. He's talking on the field. And a special mention to Randy Gregory, who was coming. He's got a bit of a reputation, but I think he come into that game and he looked a threat and he got himself a very good sack. I thought, in my opinion, it was a quality sack. He's fast hands, got round the defender and sacked the quarterback. I don't think you can ask for any more than that from a pass rusher. So perhaps we'll see a little bit more of Gregory and Bosa in action together. And then obviously, I think once again, what a pickup Hargreaves was. He's just an absolute bulldozer through that middle of the defense. That being said, certainly in this game, it felt that our defensive line wasn't as good as theirs this game because, Michael's already said about what they did to our O-line. So there's the defense and the stats. Cass, where do you think we fell down on defense this week then?
I don't know. I really feel like maybe it's a loss of focus, could be. I feel like everything was just kind of off with that game. I feel like we did not have the number of tackles for losses that we normally have. Look,
just going down the stats here, right? Tackle for losses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 in total tackle for losses. So, I mean...
And I'm willing to bet we usually normally, more than that.
I'm pretty sure Hargrave... he didn't have a tackle for loss in this game. I'm pretty sure Hargrave got 3 or 4 alone last week. I think that may be it, Kat. I think I didn't see enough of our defensive line in their backfield, and it stuck out. And that's why I feel that, our defensive line didn't play as well as they have done previously. I mean, the secondary with the two interceptions, can you ask more than that? I mean, I know Warner technically isn't secondary linebacker. Yes or no? So I think we are getting interceptions, and I'm pretty sure we lead the league in interceptions. Without checking that, I'm confident in saying that. I think we do lead the league. Lead the league in interceptions. It's harder than it looks. This is, I tell you, Michael. What do you reckon, defense? Where did we fall down? What do you think?
We fell down on the defensive line. when you look all games, I know we only allowed an average, 17 points or so. But when you look at the defense line, we are at the last six games, we're always losing the battle for the trenches in the defense line. And it's the linebackers and cornerbacks who have to pick up. And there are we losing. I think it could happen that Bosa is double covered and we don't even have a real defensive end on the other side. Farrell is like he was with the Raiders. He sucks.
But he's not a first round pick.
Yeah. Tell us what you really feel.
Our defensive tackles are okay, but I want to see more from the defense line. The defense line was our strength the last 4 years since Saleh was our defensive coordinator. And now that's the part of the defense I see struggling in. Warner
stopping
is,
the run.
Is as good as always.
But he shouldn't be the one that we're relying on to stop the run.
Without Greenlaw this week. And Greenlaw has been outstanding. Those two together. So, perhaps Fred certainly felt more that he had a lot more to do this week. And I'm sure he did have a lot more to do this week, you know.
Now, you say we have the most interceptions. Now, imagine how many interceptions we would have had if our defensive line would have the same production as the last 4 years. We would have even more interceptions because the quarterbacks would be constantly under pressure.
So it brings us back to the Steve Wilkes debate. So a lot of people, including myself, I was fully expecting Chris... Here we go. Another name for me. Chris Correct. Correct. Thank you, Michael. I was expecting him to be next man up following Salah and DeMarco. I thought that's what would happen. I didn't think we'd take on someone from the outside. I thought it would just be another guy from the inside who's been a long time coach on the team. So it was a bit of a shock to me. So, but that being said, it seems that, you know, the defensive line is certainly not as good as it was last year so far this season. So I don't know if that would have made a difference if he'd have been the coordinator. It might possibly, because he'd have probably called a lot more blitzes. I do feel that we are calling a lot less blitzes. And that is possibly down to having a defensive coordinator that is secondary mind. So his first thought when it comes to calling the playing is zone, man, coverage, and then... you know, the rest. So, I mean, I don't know. This is just a guy from England talking about people that surely know a lot more than me. I'm just trying to read into why we lost this game this week and why we look slightly worse on the defensive line. I'm hoping next week I'll be saying the complete opposite and Nick Bosa has had a hat-trick of sacks again.
Well, I think it's, you know, this is the kind of game we need now so that Steve Wilkes can learn from his mistakes in terms of play calling. He's definitely his scheme is definitely a little different than D'Amico Ryan's and Robert Saleh's. But I still think it's too, the jury is still out. It's too early in the season. Now, if we do not start seeing some aggression on behalf of the defense and some really aggressive play, I will then start to question it, because the minute they stop going for that ball, because that's the thing I love about our defense, they are always trying to punch that ball out, force that turnover. It's so thrilling. But as soon as that stops, then we know.
Fully expecting Fred Warner to join Le'Veon Bell and go into a celebrity boxing after this, because the way he throws a right and left hook, he's plenty. But you see him do it every single play, and I think one of these days he's going to catch some poor person right in the midriff. But yeah, they exactly that. And I'll be honest, there was a play when Brock led us down for the field goal try at the end of the game, where the Browns looked like they just, it was Aiyuk. Aiyuk caught the ball in stride. Perfect throw from Purdy. Sorry, Brady, bloody hell. Perfect throw from Purdy into Brock, in, Brand. God, I'm cocking this up. Into BA, Aiyuk, in stride. And he just, he had the ball stopped and he had two Browns defenders in front of him. They stopped and the second, their in secondary stopped and he went on for yards for yards after catch. And if I saw our defense do that, I would be like, that doesn't look right to me. And so exactly what you just said, Kat, that the fact that they are, what is it, all gas, no brakes, I think was one of the sayings that we had at one point. And they still are that, certainly.
Yeah,
I think he's took it
to
New
York.
Yeah, I
think
that
was Salah's thing, is all gas, no brakes.
Yeah.
I think so too.
I think one of the biggest problem is Saleh and D'Amico led from the front. Yeah. They were on the field. They when they saw the team is down, they lifted them up. And Wilkes is up in the booth, and he's completely separated from his team. And it's on his assistants to lift the defense up when it doesn't work. And I think that's the greatest problem. That the DC is up there, I think that's sorry, but that's old school. Saleh and D'Amico stood for modern coaching, and Wilkes is conservative, old school coaching. And maybe with Swartz, is a guy who is on the sideline as well. Maybe we would have a better DC.
No,
but,
you
that the jury is out.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have to keep an eye on that, though, because
our sideline as well, generally, you know, it is noticeably less animated as well, unless you've got Debo kicking off with the opposing team. But no, in seriousness, it certainly seems less animated. But I also think because it was exactly what Kat said, it was an ugly game. And like, I didn't enjoy watching it, whether that be the penalties or, you know, both teams struggling to get any sort of rhythm, be it by penalties or by the opposing team being good. Because, you know, there was a few three and outs for both of us. The defense weren't completely, you know, avoid. You know, there was a couple of two or three, I think, from memory, you know, three and outs for us as well, quite quick ones as well. Actually left quite a bit of time on the clock, which enabled Brock to go down the field and give us that chance to win it. So, you know, we did lose this game, and like Kat said, I think we needed it, but it's not a devastating loss. We lost by 2 points at the end of the day. I know the stats say that Cleveland give it, and to give them final bit of credit, because I've given quite a bit in this podcast. So we move on to next week. It's Monday Night Football. Oh, go on, Kat.
And can I just do a quick shout-out to Robert Saleh and the Jets? Thank you for beating the Eagles so that they did not remain undefeated and I wouldn't have to hear it from people
I
play games with.
And I'm pretty certain or sure that if he did have his quarterback, his first choice quarterback in Rodgers playing, they would be doing possibly what the Lions are doing.
Oh, at least we have a pretty good handle on Rodgers.
Yeah, go on.
can I say something too? The Jets' victory also made the battle of two teams into a battle of three teams for the number one seed. And I'm a 49ers faithful, but I really like what the Detroit Lions do. And they are deserved up there with us and with the Eagles.
Me too.
And I can't help but root for Jared Goff, even when he was a Ram.
Yeah.
Because half an hour away.
I've always liked him. And when they traded him, now, obviously, I know they traded him. They went and got Stafford and they went and got their ring. Yeah, congratulations. Woo! Yeah, your fans still don't turn it to your game.
Now,
though,
go away.
But I think he was harshly treated. And I think he's been a solid quarterback in the NFL since he's been in the NFL. Mm. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that. I know he was a number one overall pick. But how many top draft picks do we see come Wilson, not to bring his name up, Trey Wilson, I mean, I don't think. I mean, you've got Mariota can't get a game now. He's a backup. You know, how many we can really list off of 20 quarterbacks, 30 quarterbacks mm-hmm. that get drafted in the top five of a draft, and they fall flat pretty quickly. And Goff came into the league as a rookie and has been a decent quarterback ever, you know, since he's been in the league. So I think he deserves credit for that. And I like the Lions because I think, mm-hmm. you know, for a team that's never performed, you know, never. I mean, you'll know more than me, Kat, but that part of the country surely needs something to root for and shout about a little bit. You know, they've never really had anything with the Browns.
Yeah, I don't think Detroit has ever won.
Yeah, exactly.
A playoff game. I really don't remember. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, that's the thing, they were kind of insignificant,
you know?
Of course, you know, I'm in Niner country, so.
and they always had one, at least one superstar, and still didn't do it. They had Megatron, they had Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders, that's the one that hurts.
I would say Amon-Ra is on his way to a superstar, too.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant,
and he's half
like
German.
Michael. I like that. Yeah, you've got it. You go cleverly. Yeah. Fair play. Right. Okay. So that wraps up the game. We've had a little bit of around the NFL chat, which is good. I like the fact that that's coming into the podcast. I think Deepak and the guys last week had a bit of that. I think you know, we're all Niner faithful, but it's good to talk football with friends. That being said, Well, I've got a couple of questions here. So, first one, we'll go with a quick and simple one. Jason Argus is, are people overreacting to Sunday's loss? I don't think we are. Do you think we are?
Yes.
I think that a lot of people are like us. I think, we lost the game. We lost the game. We wasn't expecting to go and beat, and let's move on. I don't think I've seen quite the meltdown. I've seen a lot aimed towards Moody. That's sports fans
Niner
in general.
Niner fans
though,
are
sports
so
fans
fickle.
In general.
It's, God. Well, true. But I mean, look. Mm-hmm. If we lose to...
Yeah, there will be a test.
The Bengals, the Jaguars. Well, the Jaguars might be a game, but still, the Jaguars. You look at this schedule. The only real threat or real worry.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to show up and play the game and take it one game at a time. We cannot overlook a single one of these teams. But the only one I'm truly nervous about is December 3rd when we go to Philadelphia. So why are we,
go on, Michael.
I mean.
listening to Uncle Sherm since he was a Niner to his podcast, and I think he said it in the off season, you don't learn from victories, you only learn from defeats, why should you change anything if anything works perfect? And so maybe it was a really good thing for us to lose now.
Yeah.
So we can look where our weaknesses are.
Well, and we need to learn from our mistakes, and we need to learn what other teams used against us to succeed so that we can counter down the road when it really counts.
I've said this before, but I absolutely love Richard Sherman. How about the Niners? I bloody love that. Oh no! I can't remember.
Oh my god, he's so
turnaround
funny.
I love him. I think he's brilliant. And you know what? He summed it up perfectly when somebody asked him on air. He said, "We thought you was a Seahawk. Mm. Were you rooting for the Niners?" And he went, "Both teams." He was just plain and simple, deadpan. He went, "Listen, I played for both teams. Both teams paid my bills. So a fair play." What a statement that is! You know, spot on.
Yeah.
Yep.
I said it. What? So
I mean,
you know, both teams pay my bills.
I get it.
Awesome, Richard.
Totally get
right,
it.
Right, I've got one other question here. Paul Marsh. Hi, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He says, as a rookie, hi, Paul. As a rookie, as a rookie, Moody is too inexperienced to keep us our kicker if we want to win the Super Bowl? Or do we keep him as our kicker, as he looks like he might become a good one given time, and roll with the punches and accept his learning curve? I personally would keep him as our kicker. Keep him as our kicker, as we don't want another try situation. So we'd have to invest and accept his mistakes. Well, I can't. I've already seen. Go get Robbie. We've got the cap space. Go and get Robbie Gold. Hang on a minute. It was Robbie Gold that wanted to go and test free agency. Let's not forget that. He said that. Go on, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie said in an interview that he didn't want to go. The 49ers told him they wanted to go another direction. So, and he said it a week after free agency. And if the 49ers are clever, they don't call him right now, but they keep him on his number saved. And look how Moody is progressing till the playoffs, because in the playoffs, we can't
I just think they don't do what they did in terms of drafting him to then throw in the towel before a full season. Because...
Exactly. And, you know, we talk about how Brock is still basically a 11? Rookie.
Yeah.
You know, he's only got, 11 games, 10 games, 11 games under his belt now?
Yeah.
Five.
You know, Moody's got, how many games under his belt now? So why are we having this knee-jerk reaction to go get Robbie Gold back? Okay,
yep.
Robbie hasn't participated in any kind of off-season training. He hasn't participated in any training camp. He hasn't kicked since last season. You know, why are we going to invest money in Robbie when we got a kid who obviously has some value if we spent that much money? And yes, we can say the same thing about Trey. I think this is different than Trey, though. We aren't as invested in him as we were into Trey, and I'm sorry how that all happened and
ended. He was teaching them all of our plays, knew the entire playbook, didn't they?
But
how did that go for them? How did that go? That
oh, did they really? Did that help them? Tell me how that helped.
Brilliant.
Was that a good learning experience for you? Brilliant. Oh, sorry. Sarcasm just dripping from my voice. Really, the only way Moody is going to improve and show us what he has is if we continue to let him kick. And if he's like any other football player in the world who wants to have a decent career, he will learn and grow from it.
But I think that teams or fans are more harsh with kickers is for every other position, the speed of the game increases from high school over college to NFL. High school football is much slower than NFL football and so on. And for a kicker, it's from high school to NFL. It's always the same thing he has to do. And he feels this, the increase of speed, he feels it less than other positions. And that's why I think people are more harsh with kickers than they are with field players. I don't want to say it's right.
But I will
just
say
try to find an explanation for it.
Stats of Justin Tucker, the ex-Patriots kicker whose name escapes me that has won numerous rings. They all, in their rookie season, had many ups and downs and missed, a few field goals. So, again, let's not... Oh, Robbie was the other one as well. Adam Vinatieri.
Adam Vinatieri is the one I think.
And Robbie did
Adam
in his rookie season.
And I'm sure
Mark
he had
well.
Misses, you know?
Okay.
Come on. Ray Wershing, the great Ray Wershing.
Yeah.
49er kicker. He had misses too. Yeah.
Get it out of the way now.
It's okay, Niners.
Not
people.
In January.
Calm down. Jeez, please.
If he does it again in January, we'll go fully in on the kid, but not till then. or even February. I forget when it is this year. That brings us on to our game against the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football, which unfortunately will be 1:15 in the morning British time. So it will, although I work from home on Tuesday. Hopefully none of my bosses listen to this. Anyway, so the 5-1 Niners go up against the 2-4 Vikings. It's at Minnesota. I know they are still in on the West Coast training. I read that today, which is unusual because normally Kyle keeps them out east, doesn't he? Between you know, two Eastern games. Yeah.
Yeah, so, he's got multiple. There are multiple East Coast games. Yeah, they indeed. Usually hang out there. But okay, we're coming home for the Bengals.
Was on the
so.
20th of August, 2022, which I think was last season. I was going to say August sounds like a preseason game. We beat them 17-7. So, okay, I didn't realize it was preseason. Yeah, so, I suppose we can't put game. Too much value on that. Yeah, note to James with the stats. Look up when the game's actually where. Right, okay, so the 49ers, we have the 6th best offense in the league, the 4th best defense. We rank 11 in passing and 3rd in rushing. Or is that, what's that say there? Christian McCaffrey. The Niners are 3rd in rushing. Now, be facetious. The Vikings are 11th on offense, 19th on defense, 3rd in passing, and 27 in rushing. So I think we're likely to be looking to the secondary possibly a little bit more than stopping the run this week, which kind of contradicts with what we just said we'd hope to see from the defense. So nice one there, stats. But, you know.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Maybe we'll see more sacks.
Well,
this
their
week.
Offense is 11th and defense 19th. So we are, you know, on paper, shall we say. This is an easier game than the Browns, although I personally had us down beating the Browns and wasn't worried. So shows what I know. How do you think we're going to get on, guys? Kat, what do you reckon's we're going to win this week?
I think we're going to win this week. I think it's going to come down to the defense. I think, depending on who plays, you know, we know. Right now, I would consider McCaffrey and Samuel and Williams as day-to-day. Reading an article right now, they all look like, you know, it's depends on what the tolerance for pain is for McCaffrey, because it is an oblique rib injury. The lower ankle for Trent Williams, that could be problematic. But then again, it could heal right up, but you know. So, and Debo's shoulder. Okay, well, if he'd stop getting in fights before the game, Debo, geez Louise. You know, so all we can do is hope that they're all there and perform well.
No,
obviously, we won't have an issue rushing. At least I don't think so. But we still need to play our game and stick
Michael,
to our script.
Think?
We Vikings? Cannot overlook any game.
You said they were 11th in offense, but that was with JJ, and
true.
JJ is now on IR. So they basically lost their best weapon, and I think that can really hamper their offense. And important is like I always say, winning the trenches on offense and defense, and then let's see. And honestly, even if McCaffrey is day to day, I think Elijah is back. I would let
back.
Elijah start and Jordan Mason and give McCaffrey the day
game
off
on.
Because
yeah.
since the first game day, he carried our offense. And we don't want a Carolina situation for McCaffrey. Give him the time to recuperate, like we did with Ayuk during the season. Give him that one game to recuperate. And the same goes for Debo. Joanne Jennings did a good job when he came in. And give those guys a game off. We need
good
them.
Point.
We need them, especially after the bye week. We need them. So
yeah, I agree. Although we have to say that Kyle hasn't
a
got a great track record of doing that.
Good point.
But I agree. Although the only difference I would say, personally, Michael, is certainly for me, Mason looks like he's number 2 on the depth chart. at the minute. I mean, I'm like, why not? Yeah, let Mason and Mitchell have a go. And I definitely would rest McCaffrey. Trent's a little bit of a I don't know, his injury. Yeah. I mean, he played through his injury, and I love his reasoning for it is because he didn't want to leave. Was it Banks? Is it Banks? I think it is Banks. He didn't want to leave Banks up against Garrett on his own. So I thought, you know, that's the caliber. We all know the caliber of Trent Williams. He's, you know, phenomenal. Yeah. But and he's a veteran. So I think if Trent wants to play, Trent plays. But let's hope Kyle can protect Deebo and Christian from themselves a little bit more, to be honest with you. But yeah, I think you're right, Michael. I think this game's won and lost in the trenches. And I just hope our defense. You know, I'd like to see Kirk Cousins sacked a little bit. And I'm, you know, we know that Kyle knows Kirk Cousins. So yeah, I think we're gonna use. I think we'll win this by a score. So I think we're gonna win it by at least 7 points. I wouldn't like to throw a score out there. I'd like to think if we can score 30 on offense, we'll win, which I think we've been doing. I think when we've scored 30 points, we've won. So I think if we can score 30, we win. And I think the defense will probably, I'd like to the defense hold them to 20 at least, 22, 23 at most. I'd probably expect them to. Yeah, I think you're right, Kat. Yeah. No, I think you're right. I'm just brainstorming out loud. I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a pride thing for the defense. I wonder if Greenlaw's
back this week. I'm not sure.
I wouldn't be surprised to see the defense come out and play angry.
I don't normally look at the injury report stuff until round about Thursday, Friday, because like you say, Kat, it's day to day. It changes so often. And the amount of times we've spoke on the podcast about players not playing and they've played. Yep. Yeah. And I pointed out a few weeks ago, I think I was like, yeah, he'll suit if he'll play. And he did. I can't remember who it was, but they did. So, yeah. Okay, guys. I know Michael has got a little bit of any other business at the end of the pod. So, Michael, I'll hand it to you. You raised a point to me today, mate. So I think it's a good little fact as well that a lot of people know it. Go on, Michael.
Yeah. It's about that international games. I heard a lot of fans, especially Americans, sorry, Kat, but especially Americans telling people that the NFL is taking away home games for that international games. And if you look at the situations, it's not 100% true. Yes, the teams lose one home game. This year it's the AFC, last year it was the NFC. They lose one home game, but due to the 17 games schedule, teams have now 9 home games. Last year the NFC, this year the AFC, and what they basically only do is giving that extra home game away for international games. I know it was different before the 17 games, but I think that's one reason they changed to a 17 game schedule. So every team still keeps 8 home games and has I can't say it in German. has no problem with it giving away one home game because they have one additional home game they usually don't had. I thought that was important to tell that because people always say they lose a home game. In general, all teams have 8 home games, 8 away games, but the AFC or the NFC has one home game more,
sure that's
and
the
that
reason
is mostly
why
they
chose
the international
game.
Game
I think
they
it's to do
away.
With season ticket obligations, Michael. I think if people are paying money for season tickets and then just before the season they find out they lose a game.
Yep.
NFL tickets are very expensive. I've looked, they are very expensive.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Yeah,
I cannot.
Exactly. So I think that's why they did
to the
it.
Niners,
it was a good point, Michael. When you mentioned
to buy
me, I thought, that's a really good thing to raise. So, guys, go on.
Yeah.
What
can I just say?
Well, one thing is, one thing what I learned this season, because I know a guy from Germany who is a season ticket holder with the Dolphins. He got pre-rides for the tickets in Frankfurt because he's a season ticket holder. I think that goes for American season ticket holders as well. If they want to travel to an international game,
well, and they have a season ticket, they get pre-rides because there's 250,000 people trying to get tickets that game in Frankfurt, Michael. So, yeah. Oh, I
200,000, 3 million per game tried to get a ticket.
Yeah,
and they only had 35,000 tickets.
I don't know how it was run pre-season or whether they do an international series of some. I don't know how it would work, but I think certainly over here, I can only speak for us, Mark. You know more about it, like you've just corrected me there. Certainly, the demand is the London games, they sell out. Very quickly, they sell out. Granted, a certain degree of it's corporate, but it's always going to be corporate, no matter whether it's the NFL or any other sport. There's always a certain degree of corporate stuff, which people do moan at because it does take tickets away from genuine NFL fans. But there is certainly the demand there. The sport is massively on the rise in this country. I mean, you look at the pictures from the official 49ers watch party that was down in London. I didn't go, unfortunately. I really missed it. Nathaniel went, and Nathaniel will be on the podcast at some point in the coming weeks. I'm sure he'll tell us about his experience of meeting Joe Staley and Delaney Walker. So that'll be something to look forward to. But I know that the venue met capacity and they had to close the doors so that there was ticket holders that could do. There's a little bit of I don't want to talk about things. Certainly connected the Fortinet, because I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I do realise that there was people on the other side of the glass, to friends of ours, that were waving to them. But there was other bars down the road that were showing the game, which just shows you the progress of the sport in this country. It's the fact that on a Sunday evening, there was many bars in London. I know there is local to me and that show these games. So it's just tremendous. With that, guys, we've nearly been going an hour, but we have had the First Lady of the Niner Empire join us. And I know. Go on then. Yeah.
Well, and as the First Lady, can the First Lady talk to the American fans for a minute? Now, I have been part of this group for a long time, many, many years. And the one thing that I am always disappointed by, with especially in the 49er empire, is the behavior of some of our fans. And recently there have been, locals will know this, there have been a rash of fights in the stands amongst 49er fans. Not opposing teams and Niner fans, but amongst 49er fans themselves. And hearing that we had Americans, you know, complaining about the system of, you know, how they're handling the international games really hurts me, because I think the outreach the NFL has done to give Europe the chance to experience what Americans have held dear for, you know, 80, 90 years, however long the NFL has been around. And I'm really disappointed in their behavior. And I really think it's time for especially Niner fans to really look at themselves and their behavior, especially when you're intoxicated or inebriated. And you are representing the team by wearing those colors. And we used to be a team of class, and now we're becoming a team of trash in terms of our fan base. And it's getting really, I stay off of social media now because I just can't, I can't read that anymore. It's so ridiculous.
Fair play.
So I'm just saying, do better, Americans.
She's back. She's back, and she's ruling with an iron fist.
And there's
again.
My TED talk, right?
in all seriousness, yeah, it's a good point.
I just told that to Duff Kleiman on Monday.
Yep.
He posted the videos not about the 49ers fans, about the Chicago Bears fans doing the same thing like 49ers fans, rolling in the stands. And I was at the German Football League final this weekend, and fans from different teams party together and no one had the idea to hit someone. And
what I'm saying,
your fans acting like our soccer fans, while your soccer fans acting like our football fans. That's funny.
On. Yeah, there's a reason I love pro sports, and that's to be honest with you, that was one of them, because certainly when I went to the international games, when I watched Alex Smith play for the Kansas City Chiefs, there was a family from Kansas sat in front of us. And it was amazing. It was amazing. You know, they were Chiefs fans, and then there was, I forget who they were playing, and then there was in front of them was an entire row of the opposing team fans, and two of the fans from the opposing team were Americans, and this was in London, obviously, and it was great. That was one of the things from when I went to that game a few years ago that stuck with me. So I think that's a really valid point, and I've also seen the video. I saw a different one. I saw the Cowboys and the Chargers fans fighting, and somebody just mopped the floor, and they were falling all over the place, looking like, here's a British term, right, twats. Excuse my language. Yeah, and it was like something out of a. But yeah, anyway,
I get spot that. On.
No, indeed. So that's
just had to have my little, you know, get a long one, soapbox for a minute. Yeah,
so just finally. Pick six. Make sure you get your picks in. It's great fun. We all enjoy it. And yeah, I set a reminder on my phone, but Mark Lyon does a fantastic job with that. It's a big undertaking. I will always thank him. I'll thank him again now on pod, on the podcast. But yeah, look out for the pick six results, and remember to get your picks in. Anyone who's donated to the GoFundMe page, thank you for that, Mark. As well. It's really appreciated. I love doing this. We all love doing it. Simon has hosted the past 2 weeks and just done a tremendous job. I think Simon's done great as a host as well. Yeah. We've got Kat back on the pod. So, yeah, it's brilliant. It's really good. So with that,
I think you
goodbye from me.
All done great.
Goodbye from Kat. I think goodbye it's been from wonderful. Michael. Say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.